Sunday was 4 weeks ago, but we are still in the season of Easter. We are an Easter people. We are a resurrection people. We believe that death does not have the final word. We believe that life has the final word. Sometimes it's good to speak these words out loud. Let's say it. Life has the final word. Life has the final word. Saying these words takes faith. Here's a story about someone who had faith in the face of death. The story of Stephen is the story of the first martyr in the Christian church. You can find it in the book of Acts in chapters 6 and 7. It's a pretty long story, so I'm going to tell you the Reader's Digest condensed version today. Is there anybody here who does not know what the Reader's Digest condensed version is? Stephen was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He wasn't one of the 12 big D disciples. He was one of the hundreds of little D disciples, the ones who were busy building the church in the first few years and weeks after Jesus' resurrection. Stephen was one of the many followers who were figuring things out as they went along. He was a lot like us. One day, he got a promotion. There were many questions in the early church, and one of them was how to deal with conflict within their ranks. You see, there were two main ethnic groups in the early church, the Hebrew Christians and the Greek Christians. They were all Jews, but the Hebrew Christians had hung around in Israel, and the Greek Christians had spent some time out in the larger world, in the Greek world. The Greek believers complained to the big D disciples that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the big D disciples had a meeting, and seven faithful, trustworthy men were chosen to deal with this practical matter. Among them was Stephen. Scripture says that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Stephen wasn't just a problem solver or a food distributor. Scripture also says that Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. This, of course, got him some unwanted attention. A group of people from a particular synagogue started arguing with him about his newfangled beliefs, and when they couldn't win the argument, because Stephen knew his stuff, they accused him falsely of saying things against the temple and the law of Moses. Serious charges in those days. So Stephen was arrested and brought before the high priest's council. At his trial, Stephen proved that he was a faithful Jew by recounting the entire history of Israel, right from the time of Abraham through Moses up to Solomon. So far, so good. But then he started reminding them of some of their not so favorite Bible verses. He reminded them that one of their famous prophets, Isaiah, said that God never asked for a temple. That was their idea. Then Stephen called them stiff-necked, the same words that Moses used when he rebuked the people who had built the golden calf. Then, just to ensure that they got the point, he called them uncircumcised. Lawbreakers. Nothing could be worse. He cries out, "Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers." Then he looked up and he said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." I kind of imagine Jesus applauding Stephen at this point. "Way to go, Stephen. Preach it, brother. See you soon." Of course, things do not go well after that. They drag him out of town, tear off their coats so they can really get to work, and they stone him to death. That's not what the stones are that you got today. End of story, right? Maybe not. Remember, life has the final word. Stephen believed that, and so can we. It can be scary to speak up for what we know is right. But God says that we don't need to fear. Whenever God or an angel shows up somewhere, what are the first words out of the mouth? Fear not. That's right. You get to keep your rock. That's right. The first words are always fear not. So we need to learn how to move from fear to faith. Let's look back at our story. How did Stephen move from fear to faith? Number one, he didn't ignore the danger. He didn't stick his head in the sand. He knew that calling out the powerful people might cost him his life. And it did. But he spoke out anyway. How did he move from fear to faith? Sometimes when I'm reading scripture, a word or image jumps off the page. And this time it was the stones. Now you might think that the most powerful stones in the story were the ones that were thrown at Stephen. The stones in the hands of the angry mob. The stones in the hands of power. But there is another stone in this story. You can't see it, but it's more powerful. It's a more beautiful stone. It is a living stone. So let's read about that living stone in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 6. Come to Jesus, a living stone. You can read with me. Though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Or as another translation of the Bible says, whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. These last few words are also from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is speaking truth to power. He says, don't follow these liars, these corrupt priests and prophets, these violent rulers. Instead, put your trust in the God of justice and truth, who is like the cornerstone of a strong fortress, the stone that anchors the entire building so it continues to stand. If you do, you will never regret it. Stephen chose to put his faith in God, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Of course he was afraid, but he didn't let that stop him. He trusted the story that he had heard since childhood about God's rock-solid faithfulness to Israel. He trusted the beautiful teachings of Jesus. He trusted his own experience of a changed life. He knew what kind of solid foundation he stood on. He knew he would never have cause to regret it. We can have this kind of solid foundation for faith. Jesus, the cornerstone, can be trusted. It is our job to live as if we do trust it. How many of you were in 4-H? Oh, better than DeWinton. I was surprised. Okay, here's the test. Do you remember the motto? Carol? Yeah, that's the promise. The learn to do by doing. That's right. Yeah. I learned to sew by sewing. I learned to speak in public by speaking in public. Others learned to raise a calf by raising a calf. What did everybody here do? Horses? Horses and beef? Dogs? Sewing? Yep. Sheep? Yep. goats. Awesome. When we trust Jesus as our cornerstone, we have a great foundation. God's foundation for life includes living in loving relationship with all things, including God. God created us to love each other, care for each other, support each other, feed each other, listen to each other, hug each other, shelter each other, welcome each other, challenge each other. And God created us to care for the earth, to tend it and protect it. When we do these things, we become living stones. Stones meant to build and not to tear down. Stones shaped to anchor the world in a new reality. But not dead, stuck in one place stones, living stones. We won't be cast in stone, as the saying goes, and we won't become fossilized in our old practices or opinions or beliefs. We will be living stones, vibrating with the energy of the Holy Spirit as we build God's kingdom, as we learn to do by doing. Last week, Reverend Julia talked about the church not being the building, not being the theology or the organization, but the people who are doing their best to build their lives on Jesus. This church is held together with the strong but flexible bonds of friendship, caring deeds, generosity, common goals, and shared work. It is fueled not by natural gas or electricity, but by the Holy Spirit, giving us the power and the light that we need to move and grow. We are the living stones in the church. And remember, life has the final word. The temple that stood in the days of Stephen is long gone. All that remains is the retaining wall. But Stephen's words live on. The church lives on. Stephen didn't die for a building or a set of rules. He died for the truth taught by Jesus and lived out by he and his fellow believers. One of the cornerstones of the Christian faith is the power of forgiveness. And this story tells of the power of forgiveness. Jesus forgave his executioners, so did Stephen, including a zealous young man named Saul. Do you know who he was? You're getting ahead of me here. He guarded the coats of Stephen's killers and approved of his killing, and I imagine may have thought, well, that's the end of that. That day was the start of a great persecution against the early church. Under the leadership of Saul, many believers in Jerusalem were hauled off to prison. The rest scattered far and wide. And wherever they went, they proclaimed the good news about the new way of living called the Way. Instead of defeating the new way, the persecution actually spread it. So Saul got permission to chase down the followers of Jesus to other towns, including Damascus. And that's where the risen Jesus met Paul, on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" he said. And that meeting changed Saul's life. The murderous Saul became the apostle Paul and went about spreading the very gospel that he had tried to suppress. Eventually, he too was executed by Rome, by another leader who thought that that would be a good way to put a stop to his preaching. But that didn't work either. His letters to the various churches throughout Asia Minor, the letters to the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Thessalonians, form a central part of our Christian scriptures. Stephen's death was not the last word. Paul's death was not the last word. The last word is life. In the midst of a world that, to put it mildly, disagrees with us, let's remember the stories of Stephen and Paul and all the Christians down the ages who trusted God regardless of the opposition. Believing that God had a better way to live in this world, they fed the hungry, visited the prisoner, tended the wounded and the sick, lived simply, cared for the earth, loved their neighbor, and forgave their enemies. They became living stones, building a better world on the solid foundation of Jesus. The world called them crackpots and dreamers, revolutionaries and troublemakers. But as a result of their faith, we have public education and healthcare, the end of apartheid, barn raising, turkey suppers, socialist support networks, environmental protection agencies, multicultural festivals, a benevolent fund, and interfaith worship spaces. So how can you live out your own personal calling to be a living stone, precious in God's sight and useful for building God's kingdom? I don't have the answer for you, but you do. In our moment of reflection, could you take a minute and think about what you could do if you were not afraid? Or, being afraid, decide to do it anyway. What would you do to grow God's kingdom if you really believed that God's foundation is solid and trustworthy? Ask God, what am I good at? Where am I and my gifts needed? And then take a moment to listen. So we're going to take a bit of time now just to do that.